All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, August 11th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had 15 tennis matches get underway earlier this morning, as well as a two-game League of Legends slate. Good luck to all of you playing those slates that are already in progress. For the rest of the day, we have a 10-game MLB main slate, along with a single WNBA showdown. So, should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. With that said, we would get SaberSim pulled up here. We did have a number of questions come in prior to the show, which is great. So we have plenty queued up here. If you do have any questions, now's a good time to drop those in the queue for us to answer. But we will start with this first question. Hey, Andrew, happy Monday. Quick MLB contest selection question. I've been avoiding contests that don't yield double-digit sim ROI in flashback for top players, and I've built a list of contests to avoid. The problem is this often pushes me into pricier contests, which means some nights I can only play a handful of lineups due to bankroll limits, sometimes as few as 10 total. Should I stay the course, or are there cases where I should play lower ROI contests again? I've had good ROI results in bigger contests, but entering just one to two lineups in a flagship MME makes me feel a bit outgunned. Okay, really good question here. Yeah, I was actually talking to a couple of people on the team about this, and somebody brought something up to me that I hadn't exactly thought of, right? So, like, what this whole idea is, like, basically going back to a past contest, trying to figure out if it's, like, worth playing or not, right? Like, hey, you know, should I invest my money in this contest? And the idea here is, like, you only have so many dollars to go around, so you want to put your dollars in the places that they're best used, right? So you could use contest flashback to do this. So I'm going to go back to yesterday, and then we're going to go to the contest tab. And then let's say we're going to go and pull up the 50 cent minimax, right? For example here. So low stakes contest doesn't have the best sim ROIs, but we're going to look at this, right? Okay, we'll just let this contest load. Okay, so we're going to go over to users. We're going to look at maxers just to start. Sort by sim ROI. So some of the highest sim ROIs here are all single-digit sim ROIs, right? So like you're maxing this out, right? You're spending like $75 to do so. Maybe your $75 is spent better somewhere else, right? That's kind of the premise that we're talking about. Now, something that somebody brought up to me, which I think this is very, very smart, is look at different entry thresholds, okay? You don't only have to look at maxers. How are people who are entering, you know, around 50 lineups, how are they doing, right? And then you could be like, oh, okay, you know, people entering 50 are still kind of low. Okay, well, what if we look at people who are entering like 20 maybe, right? Now we can see here that a couple of these players start to creep up above the 150 maxers, right? This guy who had 100 had like 6.9. This guy had 34, had 7.3, 25, 7.8. Okay. But what if we go like 10 lineups, right? Okay. Like, and creeping higher and higher, right? What this tells me is that, hey, you can put a small number of lineups in this contest and actually have decent ROIs. Now, these are still single digit, right? But you're going to see some scenarios where like, hey, maybe a 150 maxer can only get to like and, you know, 5% ROI. But if I'm putting 10 lineups in here, well, maybe I can get to like a 10% ROI, a 15% ROI, right? So don't only analyze the contests based on maxing it. Look at different entry thresholds. And I think you're going to find situations where like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't max it, but maybe I just want to put a small number of lineups in here. And then all of a sudden you're getting access to these low stakes contests again. You're going from 10 overall lineups to back to, you know, 30 lineups, back to 50 lineups, and you're still getting access to some of the good low stakes stuff as well. So I think that is a very, very good point to be made. Shout out Jordan on that one. And that would be like one of the first things I would do is go back to the, basically the list of contests you're avoiding and look at these different thresholds and see if anybody, any of them start to make the cut or start to make sense at a certain limit. Second thing I would do, check out alternate slates, turbos, afternoon slates. This was Sunday. Today there should be a night slate, right? Some of these are healthy. You know, some of these have low stakes, right? We go to night slate. This is for tonight, just to be clear. Okay, we're on the night slate. We go over the contest tab. And then, you know, like we sort by 150, right? They have a $1 150. They have a $1 20 max. They have a 25 cent 20 max. They have some dime times, right? Like just some of these contests, right? Maybe you run the play of like, hey, I can only put 20 in the $1 mini max. I can max out the $1 20 max. Okay, that's $40, right? Jukebox, 45. You play some dime times, 51. All of a sudden, those entry fees start to tick up slowly there. That would be another thing you could do, right? Try some of these alternate slates. Now, I was thinking about this second part here. It does get a little bit weird to recommend other sites because we don't have flashback for those sites, right? So you can't exactly tell how these are going. However, I am like fairly comfortable saying that the competition on sites like Yahoo and Owner's Box is a little bit lower simply because there just aren't as big prizes. You know, I think like the Owner's Box flagship is like usually like a 1K to first. That's just not drawing the attention of like enough players, but that can still be meaningful to your bankroll depending on where you're at, right? So like don't be afraid to try out other sites, you know, Owner's Box. I think Owner's Box cares like a little bit more about like pushing their MLB product than like Yahoo does. FanDuel has also good low stakes contests. I think their piggy bank, their 5 cent 150 max tends to like overlay kind of frequently. You can mess around with some of their like $2, 22 cent contests. You know, they have like some $1, some like $3 single entries too. So you can mix in some FanDuel stuff, but those are like my big thoughts on this one. So hopefully those ideas help out. But if there's any follow-up, let me know. All right. Good one there. Next question. For MLB for classic slates, I see an entry fee near the top of the window. I also see the same thing for showdown contests, but I also see portfolio EV listed for showdown contests. What does this number represent? Doesn't seem to match any of the post-contest sim numbers as I expect it to. Also, why is this showing up for showdown and not for classic slates? Okay, good question. So when a slate is in progress, you're going to see over here, like on the side, it'll usually be like at the end, it gets added to like the last game on the right. It's going to be a trophy icon. And what that's going to do, it's going to display your entry fees. And then it's going to display what we call your portfolio EV, okay? So when the slate is in progress, because we have live sims for baseball, we can update how we think you're going to do in each contest that you play. So when the slate is in progress, you're going to see another column called sim EV in the sim settings that will populate to the right of field lineups. And I'll say, hey, this is how we think where we expect you to end up between all of your different contests. And then portfolio EV is just a sum of the sim EV columns. Now, the tricky part is that this metric only appears once all the games on the slate have locked. So it's really easy to see for Showdown because, you know, Showdown, the game locks and that is the last game on the slate. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're running the live sims and, you know, in the bottom of the first inning, you know, second inning, third inning, you're going to see it in all those, right? You're not going to see that for baseball until the very last game starts. And then it gets like into like the bottom of the first, right? Because the live sims run every half inning. So it wouldn't be until Tampa Bay A's start and probably like a couple minutes after that. We also have to like process all of the actual lineups. So like the ownership, you know, these lineups, all the lineups in the contest will be locked. We will pull in all the actual lineups and then like run everything. So I would say give it like 15 to 20 minutes after this game starts just to be safe. If you check this at like 10:30 PM Eastern, you should see your sim EV columns. You should see your portfolio EV columns and you should see all of the same data. So it is there. It just takes longer to populate because we don't do it if there are unknowns, right? When we don't know exactly who's in the lineup, we don't populate that information. All right. Next question. Andrew, tips on using SaberSim strikeout projections when playing FanDuel solo stat format. Also got tips on projecting who will be the highest owned pitcher. Thanks. Okay. So we don't like fully support this, right? So I'm just going to kind of give some thoughts here and some ideas. I would assume what you could probably do is like pull up any sports book, you know, pull up FanDuel sports book, look at which pitcher has the highest prop. Look at, you know, regardless of whether it's over or under, I mean, unless there's like more than one person. So like what I would do is like, okay, who is the highest listed strikeout prop, you know, and maybe you see like, oh, Spencer Strider has 8.5 and nobody else has under 6.5 or something like that. Right. Or nobody else has over 6.5. So it goes like 8.5 and then 6.5. I'm like very positive Spencer Strider is going to be the highest owned pitcher in that instance, right? So that's like part one. Part two would be, well, what if there are two pitchers or three pitchers who all have, you know, 8.5? Look at who has the best line to the over, right? So, okay, Strider and Skubal both have 8.5, but Strider, his under is minus 120, and Skubal, his over is minus 130, right? Well, in that case, you know, the market is expecting Skubal to get the over more often than Strider is. So in that case, then I would say, you know, okay, I would expect Skubal to be the highest owned pitcher in that instance, right? I think that is like probably the simplest way to get a sense for who's going to be the highest owned. Now, as far as tips go, going to be a little more interesting. I don't know a ton about this format. I'm like pretty sure I've seen DK's format with this where it's like, you know, you pick it, the winner, and then however many people pick that player, you like all split the prize, right? So it feels like a situation where avoiding the chalk is like optimal and you might not win like that often, but I think that's like okay. I would probably just come in here and like sort by K's and then compare this to like my ownership and then take somebody who's like, I don't know, relatively like close. So I would probably consider, you know, like for today, right? I don't know. I probably consider the top six guys, maybe like top eight here, right? Just like thinking out loud. Something you could do maybe is consider percentiles, you know? So like, okay, yeah, the highest K pitchers typically have higher percentiles. But like, see, like someone like Logan Webb is like a little bit interesting because his 99th percentile is actually higher than Zebby Matthews, Pepia, and Will Warren, right? He's actually like the third highest 99th percentile. That just tells me like he might have a little bit more upside than his like average projection kind of like leads on here. So I think it's actually okay to be like, okay, well, you know, how do these guys do based on like their 99th percentiles? You know, if you're in a situation where it's like, okay, you know, Crochet, Yamamoto, Eovaldi, and maybe like Yamamoto, you're expecting to be like higher owned than Eovaldi. Well, like their 99th percentiles are really close, even though Yamamoto has like a lot more, like 0.78 more Ks. I think it's okay to go with Eovaldi to try and get more price pool. For like longer shots, you know, I think Webb is actually like a pretty okay play. His K prop isn't that high. He does have a lot of upside here. And like, who knows, maybe he goes pretty under owned and he's like a good kind of a dart throw, right? So I would be doing something like this to try and make my decisions here. I don't know exactly what the format is. We're picking, you know, one or three or whatever, but I think that you could probably do something along these lines and make some well-informed decisions. All right, next question. I'm having trouble creating groups for all my satellites as well as some winner take alls. Can you please demo this? Yeah. So one note on this is that our team is looking into a bug with not all contests being included when you use a requirement. So like something that we've been suggesting people do is like maybe you're playing a lot of low stakes satellites and they're all really, really similar. So one recommendation is to group them all together, right? So let's see. Let's get rid of these. These are like from past demos. So say I come in here, right? I want to create a template for all my satellites. So what I would do is do lineup group type contest, create a lineup group for all contests, and then I need to add a requirement, okay? What's a little bit tricky about this is that not every contest in the lobby is in our contest tab. So that means it's not in our database by default. Any contest that is not in our database gets listed as a custom contest. So if you create a template that says, put all of my satellites into a group, well, although you are playing a satellite, SaberSim isn't recognizing the type as a satellite. So it's leaving those satellites out of this group because to SaberSim, it is not a satellite. It is a custom contest. That's a little bit tricky to understand where like, okay, but it is a satellite. It's like, yeah, but SaberSim doesn't know it's a satellite is like basically what's happening. The way we've been recommending people combat this is by doing a requirement instead that says percent to first equals 100. Because for those custom satellites, we do fill in some default information when they get uploaded. And we basically just make it a 100-man winner take all. So the fact that it has a 100% to first by default will help it get into this template group. Okay. That is working for like 95% of contests. The team is like looking into a couple instances where sometimes like a qualifier, like a random contest isn't getting into the group. Okay. I don't know why. If that happens, right? So like, say you have the template on, you could just add the other contests to the group. Just this has, you know, one group. It's all my satellites. It's 20 contests, but I have 23 satellites. Just click the plus icon and go and select the other three. That is the simplest workaround while our team investigates, but like we are actively investigating that. I've been talking with a couple users about it the last couple days. So that's the biggest thing there. But generally the template percent to first is 100 is going to be better than using type is satellite. You could, I guess, in theory, do one where it's like type is satellite or type is custom. this would be a lesser, this wouldn't be my favorite way of writing this, because maybe you're playing like a small GPP and we don't have it. Well, then the satellite and the satellites and the GPP are going to get grouped here, right? So I think percent to first is the safest option at the moment. So those would be my thoughts there. Looking here, looks like we are caught up with questions. So that's great. So why don't we just kick off a quick build here? I'm going to build 500 lineups, make two small adjustments to projections. Click build. Ryan said, the format is you choose three pitchers, no salary cap, and it pays out $10,000 all to first place. Okay, yeah, and then you got to like chop those up. So I think percentile still kind of matters. I think that strikeout props still matter. I think you could probably like do ownership based on like strikeout prop alone. But yeah, top three, that totally makes sense. I still think the advice holds there. You just got to pick a couple more guys. So hopefully that helps. Good luck. All right. So doing a quick build demo here. We built 500 lineups. I'm going to switch this to 20 lineups. They were doing 20 lineups, right? We're using portfolio mode, not portfolio plus here, right? And then, you know, let's say like, hey, you know, this is ranked by Saber score by default, which is what we would expect. Cool. So portfolio is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting, right? It's going to make sure that your lineups are well diversified. No need for menu links. No need for, you know, figuring that out. Starting at one menu link, going up to three, four, five, trying to figure out where your, you know, projection like drops too far. All those type of things. I'm gonna get rid of this ROI one. But you still have the opportunity, right, to come in here and make specific changes that you want. So like, I ran this build. Okay, I go check my stacks. Getting a lot of like 5-3s, 4-4s, 5-2s. So a lot of correlation. Great. Highest stack, 35%, then 30%, then 25%. I like to sort by projected runs just to see, make sure we're not taking too many shots on lower projected teams, which like we have one lineup with Houston. Like, okay, they're the lowest projected. One lineup's okay. I see one, I see two as you like creep up here. But a lot of our exposure is coming from like the top, you know, all these teams above five runs. So that feels good. We go over to players, we go over to pitchers. You know, I'm just like spot checking everything, right? Running through this, making sure everything looks good. It takes less time than ever to build like high quality lineups, which is always something the team is like pushing hard for. We go over to pitchers, you know, top leverage, 12%, lowest leverage, -9. So not that much in either direction, kind of flat there, which is okay. Go over to batters, no batter in more than 35% of our lineups. Some higher leverages here, right? 18, 17, 11. You know, a lot of these Rays guys, the Rays are our highest team stack. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I would expect to see them if they're my highest team stack. So that makes sense. One thing you could do is like, okay, well, if we're going to play a lot of the Rays, you know, let's see what players in the order we're playing, right? And then I come in here and it's like, okay, we are getting some exposure to all the players in the lineup. We're getting more exposure to the 9-hitter than like the 8 and the 7. The 9-hitter is lower salary. The 9-hitter has more correlation to the guys at the top of the order. So I don't think it's like terrible here. We're taking like one big, highest exposed is Yandy Diaz and then Hyesung Kim. They don't seem terrible here. So I think this is all okay. You know, I put eyes on it, right? Nothing's going to get by me. That's kind of what I'm trying to do here, right? Like, hey, I don't want anything to sneak up on me once these lineups are locked or once I'm in late swap, right? I just want to like go through this, like boom, boom, boom. Stacks, correlation, team stacks, pitchers, batters, you know, maybe highest exposed team, and just put eyes on all of it, make sure I'm okay, right? Like, yeah, we are taking a little bit of a stand on Yandy Diaz, but I am okay with it. And that's an important thing to like be able to say. So at this point, I'm really happy with these lineups. I don't really feel the need for any changes. You could make some changes. Maybe lower Diaz. Maybe you bump Crochet. Maybe you like him more. You know, that's all like kind of opinion based. But at this point, I'd be ready to save these lineups and upload them to my contest. All right. Let's take a peek here. Looks like we are caught up in office hours, caught up in the YouTube chat. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Knocked out this late demo. I will be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.